The opening scripture this morning, just briefly. You always get a Reader's Digest condensed version here. I suggest reading the entire book. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. And some of your testimonies this morning is an indication that you didn't catch God by surprise. Oh, I can't believe they got themselves in that kind of a fix. So they did this, or they did that. The word says, and the Lord shall. Oh, you got to say the word shall, and the Lord shall. The word shall means this is absolute 100%, even better than ivory snow with that 99 and 44 100th percent pure deal. Now when the Lord shall do something, it's 100%. You have his assurance. Shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What a wonderful promise. The Bible is full of promises. But when you just come across one like this, and you know, Lorraine, in your testimony, all the turmoil, the anguish sometimes, and the great discouragement, almost a despair, like, I just need to get out of here, and I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go with this. It's just so wonderful to know the simplicity of this. The Lord shall deliver me. It doesn't say somebody else's name in there. It says me, moi, you, yousums, yous guys. Yeah, yous guys is good, because we're all in this walk together. Amen. So whenever you find a promise and it has me in there, and when you read that, you really need to mark that. That's very important, because people will sit in a room and say, oh yeah, I know God speaks to that person, and God speaks to this person, and God will do this for them, and kind of like, but would he do it for me? And that's where it really comes down to, where your personal faith is on the line. When it's easier to believe that God will do something for somebody else than it is that he will do it for you. I don't know why that is, but it's an observation. But when the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. So just taking that first part to start with, the Lord shall deliver me. Psalm 34:17, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver us out of them all. My funny Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver three on Tuesday because you came to church on Sunday. Now, it doesn't say any of that foolishness. This is an absolute affirmation. From every evil work, not just one or two, just to get you through. This concerns our futures as well. Any time that we testify or speak or live our faith, there is no one that's going to be exempt from persecution or mocking in this world. You've got two spirits working opposite of each other, the spirit of Antichrist in the world versus the spirit of Christ in you. And if you think that life is going to be a cakewalk, you've been eating too much sugar. But the nifty thing is God's promise in spite of that. That's really because you know that there's always going to be the evil side until he is no more and he's in the lake of fire. Now, to the Christian, he does what we allow him to do, and sometimes it's out of a lack of knowledge, some unbelief, thinking that he has more power than he does anymore, because at the cross, Christ defeated him completely, 100%, and he has no power and authority over the life of a believer. That needs to set in as well. If you look at this from the cross, and the Lord has delivered me from every evil work. How do I know that? Because Colossians 1:13 says, he has, past tense, delivered me from the powers of darkness and has translated me into the kingdom of his beloved Son. See, these words, they just all connect. And to give us the assurance that even though the enemy rages like a lion, I know that the lion of the tribe of Judah has got a louder roar. And he's got a lot more clout and power and authority. When you look at it from God's perspective and Calvary's cross, every evil work that's yet to come, this is included. Because he said he will deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me. Anybody doing any canning this summer yet for veggies for the winter? We got any canners in the house? Surely you don't just buy them in cans. I didn't mean canning by buying cans of veggies. Nobody does canning anymore? Ah. Okay. Well, those ball canning jars and the screw-on lids, they have a rubber seal, don't they, to protect the contents of that can, to protect the food. When I think of God preserving us, I think of how he guards over us, he watches over his word to perform it in our lives. But his preserving quality is like, it's like that rubber seal on the jar. He's very much concerned about what's on the inside of us. What do we contain? We contain his presence. We contain his authority. We contain his power. We contain his glory. We contain the entire word of God, even though we may not know it all yet. It's already on the inside through the person of the Holy Spirit. You've been preserved, protected. Yeah, the earth suit's going back to the dust of the earth, but that's not the one we're checking out with. That's the one we're leaving behind. The true preservation is the spirit of man. That's the part that's eternal. And no matter what happens to the earth suit, no matter what happens to the mind, when it's checkout time, you're going to be preserved just as perfectly as you are today, and even better. I mean, there's that promise there that never, never fades away. Unto his heavenly kingdom. Well, that's our destination, isn't it? And if he's going to preserve us to that day, why panic? Why worry? Why be fearful? Suddenly we can get caught in something that may startle us, but to live in fear anymore, I really don't think that most of us would have to plan on spending the rest of our days in fear. I'd rather spend the rest of my days in faith. Put my faith in God. Gloria Copeland said that fear is meditating on the works of the devil. I agree. When people are living in fear as a lifestyle, they're putting more faith in what the enemy says or does than what God has said or done. To whom be glory forever and ever, Ancient of Days, he never forgets, except our sins, and they're all gone. Isn't that awesome? Short word, but it's one of those that you need to mark because it has the word me in it, and every time you pick up your Bible, if you should live until 2198, you're going to pick it up and it's going to say the same thing, because the word of God never changes. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever. You can take that till your last breath and thank God for it. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, yes, Peggy?
I want to say, this is quick, but last week when the man with the machete was at the gas station,
oh, yes.
My daughter was there with all of her daughters.
Yeah.
And she had opened the sound line to get in the car and go to the next gas station. Even though she didn't know what was going on.
It didn't look like the receipt. Yeah. And of course, everybody else wanted to watch it, so we sat in the gas station and watched it.
So they watched what unfolded, but they weren't really certain what was going on at the time. They just had, she just had that uneasy feeling like this isn't good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We saw it on the news.
Yeah.
That's not a good name to have, is it? You have a name that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the name that counts, the Christ-like ones. Okay, so this is the missions offering, and you all know what that's about. We talked about it. We do it the third Sunday of the month. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that with one, it's not so doable. but with when we all put our resources together for one purpose and one cause, we thank you that it really does make a difference. And it's something that we can do when in the house offering to share in the trips that some of us take from this fellowship, sharing the joys, sharing in the provisions and the testimonies that come back and the changed lives, and knowing that even the prayers of the saints make such a difference thousands of miles away. And sometimes prayer is all that's needed to make that difference. But we thank you for the privilege of giving and sowing and the blessings that we receive in return. In Jesus' name, amen. So, do as the Lord shows you to do. To be very brief, for me, but last week as we were reading and studying some more about prophesying, I had said that I would bring you a prophecy that was given for my upcoming trip, that I would read it to you. And I think it's important because last week we read a scriptural example of Zechariah's prophecy of Christ. Another one that you might refer to would be Stephen in the book of Acts chapter 8 when Stephen was martyred for his faith. He spent, I don't know how long it took him. It didn't take me long to read it, but I'm sure that he spoke it under great difficulty because they were stoning him to death for his faith. And he prophesied, and he spoke of the coming Messiah from way back generations ago and brought it right up to the current moment when his life was extinguished in this natural world. That's another good example of a sample that you can find when people, the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they begin to speak, they begin to prophesy. And we experienced a bit of that this morning again. So I'm going to read this. This was given on July 18th, so it's very current. There is a big exodus coming. We must prepare for, but I insist you hear again. I was reminded to impress deeply in your heart. You might not make it back if you go overseas. There are snares laid for you and deceptions of great greed and hate. Abort, abort. Was given to me this morning with that message. Please heed, and one more pointer. Going, and if death will not make a martyr, because it would be in disobedience to God. He wanted me to convey that to you because he loves you. And lastly, I was to say this. The junk food has greatly limited your hearing of God's voice. Please do not be angry at either of us, meaning she and the Lord, because that was also conveyed that could be an outcome. Lay aside typical man's pride and focus on your weakened church. With a message like that from an old friend who was greatly outcast, must be greatly appreciated and heeded. Well, I don't know what any of you would do in preparation for a trip to get a word like that, but since that time, I've read this over and over and over. Prayed, fasted, and I still have great peace about going. And there's some key things. We have a little bit of time before lunch that I want to point out to you. You might not make it back. Now I want you to think about that phrase. I sense very strongly in my spirit that that conflicts with what the Lord showed me on an airplane, and I shared that many times with you. That many, the door will be closed to many, but to you it will always be open. And then 2 years back, I was given a 10-year multiple entry visa to India. Two confirmations from the Lord that happened. You might not make it back if you go overseas. I want to tell you something. I wrote these little notes down when Gary and I were here earlier. It's always dangerous. Always opposition, and it's always taking a risk. Especially when we've been entrusted by God with something so powerful as the Word of God, which is able to save a lost soul. Do you realize the power of the Word and how God has entrusted His Word to us? There is nothing more powerful in this earth than the Word of God and what it is capable of producing in another person's life. And I take that very seriously. So the word might cause me to kind of just mark that word. And this is really great because this is our classroom. This is where we learn together to help sift through some of the things that people may say to you or may already have. There are snares laid for you and deceptions of great greed and hate. That's very common. I can't think of a time when that's not been true. Going into former communist countries with the Russians still stationed in barracks around the cities, and Dave Wells and I were handing out tracts, and the secret police came and took our tracts and said, "You can't do that." And then they watched us and spied on us while we led an Albanian refugee to Christ right in the town square. We didn't need the tracts. God is so cool. I just love it. Going to seminars where they were just filled with socialists and communists, professors and doctors and naysayers. And the risk is always there. I don't deny that. But what I do deny is in the context of you might not come back. If any of you know how valuable what you have really is, it will. I like the scripture this morning that God will deliver us from all the works of evil and darkness. I like the fact that I go as Bubble Boy. If any of you ever saw that movie where that young man was totally encased in a container or in a glass or sphere, if you will, because he had no immune system. And he was protected from his environment, from sickness, disease, germs, bacteria, whatever. Whenever I go on a trip, I feel like that Bubble Boy. I feel like a total encompassing and surrounding of the Lord. And it's been confirmed so many times. Over and over and over, I feel His presence continuously. And I know that you're praying. Halfway around the world, your prayers have power. Amen. And so, I don't want to tear this apart and make something bad of it. Because what I sense is she let some of her personal fears contaminate the prophecy. Because I know this person. If it costs me my life to go, that won't make me a martyr because I'm going in disobedience to the Lord. That part bothers me a little bit because that's already been settled. Faith knows what to do. My will is made out. My papers are in order. My spirit is in order. My mind is in order. My body's in order. Every part of my being that can possibly be ready is in order. If the plane was leaving this afternoon, I'd be on it. I don't take on someone else's fear. And so, I don't want to make light of it, but you know, we're talking about prophesying, people speaking things over your life. So, naturally, I'm going to want to do everything I know how to do to verify it, to check it out. And I'm just sharing with you some of the things that stand out to me that maybe separate the person prophesying from the prophecy that she spoke. And I don't understand that junk food has greatly limited your hearing of God's voice. My sweetie, if you go downstairs and you find any junk food, guess what? She didn't make it and she didn't bring it. We are so meticulous about avoiding all the foods that we know of that are unhealthy, that are not good for us. We're not into a cheap supper at Mickey D's. In fact, I've never been there. I know you got a look of horror on your face. You've never been to McDonald's? Well, not since they built a new one in Springfield. No, I haven't. I'd rather go kill a cow and have a good hamburger. Have it fresh out of the field, okay? We don't eat stuff like that, so I don't understand that part of that prophecy. Particularly, lay aside that man's pride and focus on your weakened church. Here that brings you into the picture. Okay? I'm just saying, you know, someone who's... that really... You know how something just doesn't set right in your spirit? I mean, I'm not very formal, so you know, get over that. But in here, I don't see that. I see. What's that?
None of us do.
No, but it's important that we share this together, okay, so that you can see what I told you. Sometimes some of us deal with this stuff, and then you sit on an airplane and you've got 8 hours of flying over the ocean in the night to think about it, and then you've got another 10 hours to think about it flying over, and you go through another night of flying and all day besides. And so you have to settle those things about what people say, because it means something. But when it came to your weakened church, I thought, my gosh, if she only knew. I love it just being able to come here and the powerhouse that's unleashed every Sunday. No, we're not swinging off the fans and popping through the lights and punching holes in the ceiling and jumping over chairs and all of that. That's nice. And I've never rolled on the floor, but if God told me to, I would. I'm not a roller, but I would be. Yes, David.
Last time when I hear my spirit, a critical spirit.
It's very possible.
The person's hurting. You don't speak to a brother and sister in Christ like that.
No. And but this is what she gave me, so I have to come to the place of where did it start? What motivated that? What spirit prompted her to say that? About you, because you're in this with me. I can tell you that I see great strength in each of you. I mean, you have grown so much that you're not babies anymore. You're really not. And if anybody that's come and visited that has any lick of sense and in tune with the Holy Spirit is going to find out that if they mess with any one of us, you're Mama Grizzlies in the faith, okay? And I say that really sincerely, because that's who I see you. That's how I know you. You're filled with the Word. You're filled with the anointing. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're very powerful in your faith. And you have so many gifts and talents that the Lord has given you, and you just need a place to be freely exercise them. And you need to know that if you don't already. This is a house of freedom in Christ. We don't abuse our privileges, I don't think. Huggy break may go 10 minutes long someday. Who cares? We're going to spend eternity together. So anyway, then she closed it off. It must be greatly appreciated and heeded. Well, I haven't answered her back. I don't quite know what to do with that part of it. I don't know that I greatly appreciated it. But I want to glean the truth out of it about the risk. That's a given. But that I would go in disobedience to the Lord, that part I don't sense that. I don't feel that. And I think that I wouldn't have peace. It would be very unsettled. Peace is really important. And like your job situation, it can be something as everyday living as changing a job. If you don't have peace about changing, don't change. You know, until you do, you have that certainty. But anyway, I know this is short today, but that's okay, because a lot of things happened this morning. Yes?
That part where she says something about not coming back?
Yeah. You want me to read that part again?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got to find that again. Oh yeah, you might not make it back if you go overseas. Now, God would never say you might not. Why not? Because He knows. There would be a certainty. He even warned Paul about going to Jerusalem. Agabus' prophecy, when he spoke into Paul's life, Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound with chains. That was a certainty. It wasn't, Paul, you better watch out. They're going to feed you a Big Mac and you might get sick. It's definite. That's the difference, you see. When something comes from the Lord, there's a certainty about it. And it sets with your spirit. You can receive that. So I'm at the point where that part of it doesn't, because of the word might. It shows, like, I mean, we're all human and we prophesy and we speak. with the understanding we have, the abilities that we have. But when we get into it, our emotions, our feelings get mixed into it, it contaminates it a little bit. So it's really important to learn to separate those things. And so I don't want to bash her. She's my sister, and I wouldn't. Oh, just a minute, Gary. So you might not make it back if you go overseas. Well, there's a lot of reasons I might not. But the Lord would be very specific. There would be red flags and warnings that would be very certain. I can see all kinds of ways that a missions trip could be thwarted by the enemy and God warning me. But to say might, that's a big word. Gary? Yeah.
That she has concern for you. Mm-hmm. But it's something that even that we can get off base at times out of that type of the love, because we aren't really hearing from the Lord, but it's something that's wrapped up in our soul.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good learning thing for us to be hearing this. It's that gives us more discernment and learning as we approach our new understanding of love.
Yes, because the Lord will put a word in your heart at different times, and you need to be certain. But like I said, we're here and we're learning and we're growing, we're maturing, and we among us can miss it from time to time. But the point of it is, Maxwell's silver hammer ain't going to come down on your head and strike you dead, contrary to the popular song. No. And he won't pound you with silver. He'll use a gold one. No. No. We're free to learn together and grow together. And I really like that liberty. And I don't ever want to take advantage of that. This should be a safe place where we can come and share the things of the Lord together. And it's okay. You know, if you mix a little flesh in, you're learning. We all are. Yes, David.
This came to my heart when you were speaking, and I know you don't want to bash anybody, you shouldn't do that with the brethren. However, in the context that this woman, I don't know her, anybody, comes to a pastoral leader of the body of Christ with such a strong message, first of all, I'm very sensitive about the personal prophecy in people's lives.
Yes.
If God gives you an anointed word for the body of Christ, and you really feel it's from Him, you bring it forth, and it should be judged.
Yeah, the prophecy should be judged.
In the leadership.
Yes.
If they don't feel it's from God, they would come to you in love and peace and say, you know, thank you, brother, for sharing that, but that wasn't from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk a little bit further about this. So, but the reason I'm talking about this, If she is not corrected in love, she may be doing this with other leaders or other people that could be very damaging to people's lives who aren't mature in the spirit, who don't have the ability like you do to discern it, right? And it may throw them off. They may miss God's calling. Yeah,
I just don't have the... I guess when I come back and all is well, we'll be the witness, like the last time somebody I shared that with you, that only she went to faith first and told her. This is a different time. That something awful was going to happen, either while I was overseas or something was going to happen at home to my family, including my kids, that something awful was going to happen. But she couldn't tell if it was going to be something here or something there. And it was very vague and all mixed up, and I spent a week in fasting for that trip because it happened a week before I was to leave. Yeah, and so but my concern was when I was thinking about it on the plane to Europe, because it's, you know, it's an overnight flight, so you get a lot of time to think and pray and sort these things out. When I came back, I had a whole different perspective of that, I was more concerned what was going to happen to her when I showed up with a big smile on my face and said, all those evil things you told me were going to happen didn't. And nothing happened to my kids and nothing happened to my sweetie while I was gone. So the whole thing was totally off the wall. Well, what ended up happening was she got so angry that I came back and that all was well, because she boasted that she's got, the Lord has given her prophecies all the time, and so she prophesies and she's never missed the Lord. And so when I came home, she got so angry that she left in an angry spirit and died many years later, but with that angry, unforgiving spirit because of what happened.
Was she a member of this body?
From time to time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this shows you how, on the other side of that, I don't feel at this time how to correct this woman, because I haven't gone yet. I know, because all I can say is that her spirit is that she may get very all bent out of shape and hurt and challenged and feel like, oh, there's just another white man in the pulpit putting us down. She's a Native American, and that's all I will say about it. But I at this time, I don't have a release yet of how to write back to her. I can't call her. I don't have any other way to communicate to her. But perhaps I will, perhaps I won't. I don't have a witness to do either yet. I'm just kind of in a waiting period. Dave? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gary.
My middle name's Dave.
Good, we're zeroing in. And the one thing I always make certain I do is whenever I go, I submit myself instantaneously to whoever's in authority. I don't go walking around on my own. I don't leave this person's side because he's the one in authority. If he receives guests or receives ministers or whatever, that's really important too, that we keep a covering wherever we go. It could be one of you. I always say, you know, that missions offering could help one of you. You just may not know it yet, but you might yourself go. The Lord may open up a door of opportunity, and this is a great opportunity to better handle something like that when it comes your way, and it might. But anyway, enough of that. Anybody need prayer today?